Yeah, there is a fascinating medrash that describes the attitude of some members of Bnei Yisrael after the Mishkan was constructed. B'shah Shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asos HaMishkan Miyad Amar Moshe L'Yisrael V'yichuli Truma. God says, make a Mishkan. So Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, V'yichuli Truma. Haya Moshe Osa B'Mishkan V'yilitzani Yisrael Omrim Efshar La'ashchin Ashara Al Yedei Ben Amram. So Moshe Rabbeinu right away is told by God, make a Mishkan. So he gets to work and he starts the project and he dedicates his talent and his focus on this massive project of making a Mishkan. And right away the Leitzanim start saying, you think God is really going to establish a presence in Klal Yisrael through Ben Amram, through Moshe? That's going to cause God to establish a presence here? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shisha Chadashim Haya Osek B'Mishkan. 6 months Moshe Rabbeinu was working on the Mishkan. Ushlosha Chadashim Asu'uhu. 3 months he was actually putting it together. Ushlosha Chadashim Kipluhu. And then for 3 months, he folded it up and put it away, and it was in storage. Long-term storage. It was finished. It was done. It was ready to go. Put in long-term storage for 3 months. Afal pikeinu yumalitzinach rava omrim. Hare nasa. Lo haya Moshe omer sheyashru shchinasa etzleinu. So the Leitzani Adar said, you finished it. You did everything. All the kelim are made. Everything's done. What are we waiting for? Didn't you say the Shekhinah's going to come? Elamai, it must be the Shekhinah's not going to come, and you know that full well, and you put it in storage because you know that it was a waste of time. But God wanted it this way. God Dafka wanted to put away for 3 months. Why? Lahamina Mishkan b'chodesh shenolad bo Yitzchak Avinu. Because he wanted the Mishkan erected in the month that Yitzchak Avinu was born. Lo asa elek shegia osa chodesh. So it can only be put up when that month arrived. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. So God says to Moshe, "Biyom HaChodesh HaRishon Takim Es HaMishkan Osa Shah Amra Ruach HaKodesh Ta'almana Sifsei Sheker Osam Shemalitza Machar Moshe." That when the Mishkan was finally put up in Chodesh Nisan, all of the naysayers were quieted. They couldn't say anything anymore. Now God was there. The Mishkan was there. God was willing to put His Shechina with Klal Yisrael. That's the Medrash. Very, very strange for a couple of reasons. First of all, if Hashem wanted the Mishkan put up in Nisan, so I have an idea. If you know, God, that you're going to give Moshe the wherewithal and the ability to put everything together in 3 months, why command him 6 months before you actually want it ready to start the project? You know exactly how long it's going to take because, after all, you're God. So why would you have him do it in 3 months and then put it away for 3 months? What is the method to the madness? Why Dafka have it in a miraculous... I don't know if ever, any of you ever had like construction done in your house. Unfortunately, some of you probably have to now after the hurricane. I don't mean to depress you, Rabbi Levin, but when the contractor tells you it's going to be 6 months, it's not going to be 6 months. It's going to be way more than six months. But the cabinets weren't ready, and oh, we need this to happen before that could happen, and it takes 2 weeks to wait for that. And just like all the first 90% will happen in 5 months, but the last 10% is going to take, you know, a lot longer. Construction never happens on schedule. This construction happened ahead of schedule, much more quickly. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle, essentially, that Moshe was able to do it all in this very short amount of time. For what? Especially God has a rule. He doesn't make miracles for no reason. He doesn't just like, you know, as you're walking down the street, give you the ability to fly for half a block, and then like, and then all of a sudden you have to walk again. Just because, you know, give you the feeling of what it's like to fly. God doesn't do things like that. When there's a miracle, there's a purpose to the miracle. So what's the purpose to this miracle? Furthermore, why did he have to wait till Nisan, says the Medrash? You know what's special about Nisan? If I were to ask any of you, what's special about Nisan? The birth of a nation? Yetzias Mitzrayim? Kriyas Yamsov? Eser Makos? What's special about Nisan? It's Yitzchak's birthday. Happy birthday, Yitzchak! That's why God wants to make the Mishkan, because it's Yitzchak's birthday. Why not Avraham's birthday? And do we even really celebrate birthdays so much? Okay, but what, Yaakov's birthday? Moshe's birthday. That would be a great one. Why Dafka Yitzchak's birthday? The emphasis on Yitzchak and Nisan. That's what Nisan's about? Yitzchak's birthday? Also, so those are the three basic issues. Why would God make a miracle where it's finished early, where he's not even going to use it anyway? why the emphasis on Yitzchak as opposed to any other important person? Take any of the Yishpizin. Why Dafka Yitzchak? And also, why is Nisan singled out as special because of the birth of Yitzchak and not because of the actual special holiday that we have coming up, Be'ezras Hashem, in Chodesh Nisan? So the Yisod may be as follows. The Mishkan has many functions, many roles. There's a lot of ideas that the Mishkan represents and that the Mishkan teaches us. It's a miniature universe on a certain level. It's certainly the blueprint for Hilcha Shabbos on a halachic level. It's how we know what you are and are not allowed to do on Shabbos. It's a place for us to have intimate meetings with the Master of the Universe, with God, with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to achieve atonement for all of our averos. All very true and very important elements of the Mishkan. But you know what else the Mishkan was? The Mishkan was the place, or the construction of the Mishkan was the act that served to be mechaper for the Cheta Egel. The biggest black eye on the Jewish people in all of our history was this Chet, the Cheta Egel. Such a short time after Matan Torah, we're all dancing around this golden calf. The Mishkan was meant to fix that. Egel Azov was awful on many levels. It revealed a very shallow emunah. It was gone in just a few moments. It was a public Chilul Hashem of the highest order. And it was a sin whose timing and the proximity to Kabbalah HaTorah is beyond troubling. It's mind-boggling. So soon after Kabbalah HaTorah, dancing around a golden calf. But one element of the Cheta Egel that maybe sometimes we don't pay careful attention to is the complete lack of cool under pressure. Klal Yisrael, things were going really well up until that point. Up until Moshe didn't come down on schedule, things were going great. And when things were going great, they were doing great. As long as God was making makos and splitting seas and, you know, allowing them to hear lightning and see thunder, you know, things were going really, really well. And then a problem arises, a crisis. Moshe's not here. I'm sure you've seen this in your own lives. There are different ways that people react under pressure. Some people just know how to kick it in that extra gear under pressure. They're very, very good. They just become better people. They perform better under pressure. Others completely cower in a corner. Their mind shuts off and they're unable to function under pressure. The pressure gets to them. We've seen it, certainly if anyone's a sports fan, you see it in athletes. Right? There's a big difference between Derek Jeter in a playoff series and Nick Swisher in a playoff series. The reason he's not playing right field this year for the Yankees. Was Rudy Giuliani a great mayor? Before 9/11, he was a good mayor. After 9/11, he was America's mayor. Because an event happened, a catastrophic event. There was enormous pressure, and he kicked it into an extra gear. He just handled it. Klal Yisrael has pressure. They have this moment where things aren't going well, and they handled themselves miserably. They did a terrible job. They were not Rudy Giuliani. They were not Derek Jeter. They handled themselves absolutely miserably. Why do some people shrink under pressure and others thrive under pressure? So it seems that there are two skills that the winners have and the losers don't. Number one is the winner exhibits a certain level of patience in his decision making. They call it, you know, the athletes say the game slows down for them. It's not, and the guy who sinks under pressure, it's so fast. It's all happening so fast. What does it mean the game slows down for them? That they're able to relax and still feel that things are running normally. The loser feels rushed and he has to make hasty, irrational decisions. He doesn't have that perspective of, you know what, there's still time. I still have another couple of seconds on the clock before I have to hoist up that three-pointer. I still have... The loser just doesn't know what to do, so he'll just react too quickly. One of the primary gifts of age is that as a person gets a little bit older, they learn that skill a little bit, usually, to remain patient, to remain even-keeled. It's a tremendous skill.
I was just talking to somebody recently about an administrator in a yeshiva, not in this yeshiva, where the person was pointing out all the weaknesses of the administrator. He doesn't do this well, he doesn't do that well. So, yeah, but the most important skill he does well, he never gets rattled. He's always calm. He always handles things under pressure in a calm manner. He's always thinking clearly. And that's tremendous. That should not be underrated. If Klal Yisrael is doing that, an Egel Azov doesn't happen. And the second skill that the winner has and the loser doesn't is that the winner forgets about himself and how he's going to look as an individual. And he looks at the bigger picture. He becomes completely one with the task at hand and with the goal that he's trying to accomplish. Again, to use that sports muscle, when Derek Jeter is in the batter's box in the bottom of the ninth inning in a playoff game, he's not thinking about where he's going to have dinner that night. His own personal life isn't happening at that point in time. His team is happening, the moment is happening, it's him and the pitcher, it's that. He gets lost in what's happening at the moment. In the bigger picture of the team game, the loser feels like there's a giant spotlight on him and everybody else isn't there. And he just feels like, uh-oh, everyone's looking at me now. And it's all about him and it's not about the task at hand or what he's trying to accomplish. The weight of the world is on his shoulders alone. So apparently, the winner does not view it from his own personal perspective. The loser views it from his own personal perspective. Now let's go back to the questions we began with. The Mishkan was to be mechaper for the Cheder Egel. How? So first, there was an enormous pressure. They were panicked. They worried about what they were going to do without Moshe Rabbeinu here. So they became fearful for themselves, and they made a very hasty decision. Quick, take the gold, throw it into the fire. Let's do something. Something must be done now. Had Moshe Rabbeinu, or had a more reasonable approach prevailed, you know what they would have said? Today's not a day to make this decision. We're too frazzled right now. Let's wait a day. And what would have happened if they would have waited a day till they decided to throw the gold into the fire? Moshe Rabbeinu would have been there already, and everything would have been solved. It never would have happened. Just wait a day, a little bit of patience. That's all they needed. The Mishkan, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to make the Mishkan. And it's going to be complete. And then you know what I want you to do? I want you to wait. I want you to wait 3 months. What are you going to do during those 3 months? Nothing. Just relax. Just because it's ready, it doesn't mean it has to happen now. A clear tikkun for the problem of the Cheder Egel. Now, on the second level, the people at the time of the Cheder Egel started to worry. Moshe's not here. I feel lost right now. And they lost the perspective of the mission of Klal Yisrael. What's our mission? Why are we here? Why did God take us out of Mitzrayim? We're here to serve Him. Is this really what God wants us to do? But that wasn't their way of thinking at the time. They weren't thinking big picture. They were thinking about themselves. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and I don't know who's going to guide me. I feel lost in my life right now, so I need to do something. So what do they do? A Cheder Egel. If they were able to think big picture, think about what a Jew is and what a Jew is supposed to accomplish, it would have helped a great deal. It would have helped them keep things in perspective. So as a kapara, we have to learn the meaning of self-sacrifice. We have to learn that it's not only about us. The spotlight's not shining on us personally. And we have to learn that there's a Klal Yisrael to worry about. Sacrifice is the very backbone of everything that happens in the Mishkan. Karbanos is, for lack of a better translation, sacrifice. So Hashem decides that the Mishkan is going to be put up in the Chodesh of Nisan. Why? Not because that's when the great miracles happened and that's when God handed everything to us on a silver platter. No, because that's when the one figure in Jewish history who taught us more about sacrifice than anybody else, that's when he was born. That's when Yitzchak came into this world. The same Yitzchak who was ready to leave this world because God said so. When he came into this world, that's when the Mishkan should be put up. A person has to learn about sacrifice. Klal Yisrael has to learn about sacrifice. Last night at a high school function, at the Honor Society function that they had here last night, Rabbi Gottlieb from Muncie, was the current rabbi of the shul that Rabbi Wein used to be the rabbi of. Phenomenal person, Talmud Chacham speaker. He said over, the Medrash says that Aaron was shaken by trying to do the avodah in the Mishkan, and he felt that he wasn't worthy because of what had happened with the Chedah Egel. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, lekach nivcharta. That's dafka why you were chosen. What do you mean it's dafka why you were chosen? Would you put that on your resume? Right, Aaron HaKohen, let's say, needs to apply for a job as a Rebbe in a yeshiva. What would he write? I was Kohen Gadol for a number of years. I was an Rav Shalom, Rodev Shalom. I led a mass of a Dazar movement for a short time. You know, that probably doesn't make it onto the resume. Lekach nivcharta? That's why he got the job? Well, why did he do the Chedah Egel? He did it because he knew that it would destroy him. But he also knew that if he says no and they kill him, it will destroy Klal Yisrael. So he took one for Klal Yisrael. He took one for the team. And that's why the Kach Nivcharta. That sometimes we have to think, even though I realize this suggests that at least Aaron's role in the Chedah Egel is the exact opposite of everything I've just been saying. But the idea is that sometimes we have to stop thinking about ourselves and what this means for us, and we have to start thinking about sacrificing ourselves for the greater good of the Klal. In life, in general, there are lots of pressures. There are crises that come up. The key to being able to handle those crises, and it's not always easy. Things don't always come easy. Things don't always, you know, you plan things a certain way, and God doesn't always conform to exactly how we planned it. People assume their family is going to be a certain way, and sometimes it doesn't turn out that way. People assume they're going to be able to get a certain type of job, and it doesn't always work out that they're able to get that type of job. People assume they'll be able to live in a certain place, and it doesn't always work out they're able to live in a certain place. People assume they'll have an easy time finding a shidduch, and it doesn't always work out that way. Things aren't always easy. People go through difficult times. How does a Jew survive difficult times? Well, these two critical lessons help us a great deal. Number one, we can't panic. We have to always realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here to guide us, and we can't make hasty decisions. I'm not getting married anyway. I might as well not be frum anymore because no frum girl wants to marry me. That doesn't work that way. We have to be patient. We have to let things play out sometimes. It's very, very difficult when we're youthful to do that, when we're young to do that. And second, we have to think big picture. We have to think about Klal Yisrael. We have to think about direction in life as a whole and not get caught up in the moment as it's happening. You know, sometimes when, I remember when I was in YU, we had a question and answer session with Rav Schechter about life in general. And someone asked, is it better before midterms to skip night seder entirely so that you'll be able to learn a 4-hour night seder the entire semester and then like before midterms just skip night seder entirely? Or is it better to, try to figure out a way to learn night seder consistently and do all your homework? Essentially, the person was asking, should you do your homework? And Shechter said, I always did all my homework, and I never had to miss night seder before midterms. You know, when midterms come, when pressurized situations come, so what happens? Do we throw everything away and say, okay, everything has to stop now because this is happening? Do we throw away all of our learning, all of our Torah, all of our davening, all of our growth, all of our... because it's a time of pressure and therefore I have to give up? Or do we say, you know what? I'm a balanced person. And I'm going to keep a long-term perspective. And I know that consistency is one of the most important things for growth as a Ben Torah. So I'm not going to let it rattle me. I'm not going to let it shake me. I'm just going to be responsible for an entire semester, an entire college career, an entire career after college. And with that level of responsibility, I'll manage to keep things in perspective and to keep my priorities in order. And in that way, we end up with a Mishkan rather than ending up with an Egel HaZahav.